Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Lord willing, we'll have a lesson this morning as much as preaching about something that we always knew but need to sometimes be reminded of. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that you would teach us more this morning about the majesty and the preciousness of your word. And Lord, we know that in so-called churchianity today, there's a dearth of your word. Lord, may it not come unto us. Lord, may we, each of us, desire to hide your word in our hearts. Lord, teach us and guide us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God, it's kind of getting short shrift these days. Most of the churches that you see today, they don't even have pew Bibles anymore. Nobody carries Bibles in. And you know, in a lot of Baptist churches, everybody's supposed to thump their Bible and wave it in the air like it was some sort of a magic talisman. No, my suggestion is that the Lord's people keep on reading it, that the Lord's people continue to feed upon the Word of God, because it's not a magic talisman. If you put it underneath your pillow and sleep on it, it's probably not going to do you any good. If you grind it up and eat it, it probably isn't going to do you any good. But if you read it, the Holy Spirit then uses that as His tool to lead you and guide you into the truth. Now, I think most of us understand that without the Word of God, nobody can be born again. The gospel message is a portion of the Word of God. Strategic pause to let that sink in. Well, if that's the way to the new birth, then why would we starve ourselves after we're born again? Why would we read only enough of the Bible to be born again, to inherit eternal life, and then fall back upon religion? And may I say also that the Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible? I know you're here this morning because you wanted to hear a message from the Word of God, and that's good. But you'd be exceeding foolish to believe anything that I've got to say when you have the Word of God in front of you and you can check it, and you should check it and be sure that it's preached word for word and in context. You know, there are people in this world that would give everything that they own, which wouldn't be much, if they could only have one page out of God's Word. And here we are in a society in the United States of America that's awash with Bibles. But judging from the condition of our country, not many people are reading them. Well, let's take a look at the Word of God this morning. Turn to, first of all, to Psalm 12 and verse number 4. Psalm 12 and verse number 4. Psalm 12 and verse number 4. Let's look at the Word of God. If there hadn't been anything else proved in the fervent political season that we've had in the last several years, it should be this, that man's word is inconsistent. Man is a liar. The heart of man appreciates hearing lies. Bill Clinton wasn't kidding when he said he'd give us a government that looked like America. What a sad chapter in our history. But you know, it didn't all start with Bill Clinton. It started back in the Garden of Eden when man fell. Psalm chapter 12, and we'll look at verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That doesn't mean he's going to keep them away from this generation. It means that he's going to preserve them from the generation in which this psalm was written until today. And he's done a wonderful job. You know, there are a class of individuals out there today that aren't happy with simply denying God. They deny his word. They deny everything. I think most of you know that they have their own special holiday coming up soon. Stay tuned. Now, there would be those that would corrupt this passage of Scripture to try to make it mean that verse number 6 refers to the King James Version of the Bible. This is a very popular misconception amongst a lot of Baptists today. And to take it in that way strips the Scripture of its meaning. Now, if that Scripture applies to the King James Bible, that it's pure, then you're going to have to accept the American Standard too, because it says exactly the same thing. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the Jehovah's Witness Bible says the same thing. Wouldn't be a bit surprised at all. There's a great danger in doing violence to the Word of God as those people have done. Well, if it doesn't mean that, then what does it mean? It means that the Scripture is absolutely pure in its character. You know, sometimes people say that you are what you eat. That's not true. You are what you think. The Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you want to discern what a person's character is like, just listen to the words that are coming out of their mouths. The mystery will be cleared up in short order. The Scripture says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You don't have to listen to some character from Washington, D.C. to understand that there's something wrong with the human race. You can go out in the highways and the byways of all the world and listen to what comes out of human beings' mouths and understand that there's something wrong in their souls. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And it's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles the man. It's that which comes out of the mouth that defiles the man. Maybe Baptists ought to wake up to that. Say amen, somebody. Verse number 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. When you read the Bible, you're not reading the words of man, and if you would apply the same critical thinking to the words of God that most people apply to politicians, you'd learn something about the character of God. That his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And you don't have to read the Bible for very long before you realize the author of this book is something entirely different than anything we'd see in this world. His words are pure. Now, this word pure here is translated from a Hebrew word that means to smelt or to test or to prove. And you know, when you stop and think about it, we really knew that all the time. What's the only kind of gold that's worth buying? Nobody's going to tell me. The 10-carat stuff that you can get on some of the cable shows, and wait, if you call right now, we'll send you 2 pieces of 10-carat jewelry for the price of one. You know what 10-carat gold does? It shows up what 24-carat really is. The 24-carat stuff is the pure stuff. And by knowing the pure stuff, you immediately recognize that 10-carat might be okay for wheel weights. But it doesn't have a whole lot of value. It's adulterated with other metals. That's why we like to buy it. Wears really good, but it's not pure. You ever notice how sin wears really good too? But it's not pure. So when we start looking at the Word of God, it immediately ought to start telling us something about ourselves. And it does, if we'll just look. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 3. If we can't do anything else, we ought to go out of here this morning with some critical thinking when next time we listen to some political mishmash. It's one thing to say that the way you know a politician is lying is if his lips are moving. But there's better ways than that to discern what a politician is saying. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 13. Now, this is talking about the human race, not about Bill Clinton. The whole human race. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Strategic pause to let it sink in. All you have to do is just look around you and you know that that's true. In spite of all the lofty speeches that politicians and world leaders give, when you look at what they're doing, it's two different things. Their mouth is speaking great swelling words, but their activities lead to misery and death. And may I say that this applies even in a greater way to religion? I mentioned this morning the Muslim religion. Look at the sorts of things that those devil worshipers say. I thought the United Nations had condemned genocide, and yet these Muslim devils stand up in the United Nations and proclaim to the whole world that they're not going to rest till they've murdered every Jew on the planet. And after they've murdered every Jew on the planet, they're going to come after you next. And don't forget that the United States is the great Satan. Israel is just the little Satan. They figure the Iranians will take care of the Jewish question. Hitler might have been a failure, but he wasn't all that smart. They're going to finish the job that Hitler started. Listen to the words out of their mouths and then look at their Quran. When you start reading the Quran, it's nothing but imprecations against their enemies and how that they might be destroyed. And then it goes on in the so-called satanic verses to tell you who put the words in the prophet Muhammad's mouth. The devil. How many of you in here remember a guy named Salman Rushdie? He wrote a book called The Satanic Verses, which pointed out what the Quran has to say about the Muslim religion, about the Prophet Muhammad, and the devil that they worship. Well, they call him Allah, we just call him the devil. You read the Quran, and you immediately begin to discern the character of their religion. It's corrupt. It's lying. And it's in exact accordance with what we're reading here. Let's read verse number 12 just to make sure that we got verse 13 and following. Now this again is speaking of the human race here. Their character as revealed by their words. What does it say? They are, how many? All gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. How can we determine that that's true? Well, listen to what comes out of their mouths. That's what verse number 13 is about. Their throat's an open sepulcher. You know what that means? When you hear a Muslim imam talking, this is exactly what you're hearing. His mouth is an open grave. His words are the way of death. Their mouths are full of bitterness and cursing. The religion of peace? Haven't you ever scratched your head and wondered how could anybody ever believe such a corrupt and lying religion? Where do they find their followers? Now, here's the dirty little secret. This passage that we're looking at here in the book of Romans talks about the whole human race. This is the natural disposition of the lost and undone sinner. This is his character, and it's exemplified by the things that comes out of his mouth. So how in the world would some devil-worshipping Middle Easterner come over here and start a mosque in the United States of America and get people to follow him? It's simple. He's doing the same thing Bill Clinton promised. He's given them a religion that looks like them. That's why it sells. Isn't that sad? The words of man are not pure. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 9. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 9. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Oh, so God's like Allah. Destroy them all. You know, you really need to understand something. Christians, I think, invented the concept of fuzzy logic. Christians have some kind of an idea that no matter what anybody does, you're supposed to turn the other cheek and you're supposed to be accepting of all things that you find in society. And by the way, that's the way that the politicians work. Have you ever noticed that everything is for the children? Everything is for the poor? And while they're saying that out of one side of their mouth, they're putting funding for abortion in practically every appropriations bill that goes through the House and the Senate. And then they try to hide it so nobody can see it because they're hypocrites. And they realize that they can get some fuzzy-headed, dare I say it, mutton-headed so-called Christians to go along with it because they spoke some words that sounded like it might have come out of the Bible someplace? Don't you realize that good and evil cannot coexist and that evil has already lost? You know, a lot of Christians have a great deal of trouble dealing with the so-called imprecatory psalms. How long do you think that the new heavens and the new earth would remain a paradise if we let a few Muslims in? How about a few politicians? Same thing. Look at it again. Verse number 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. How can you tell that? Because of the words that they speak. Have you ever noticed that politicians are given to change? Doesn't the scripture say somewhere else not to meddle with those that are given to change? You look at a man that wears the same suit and tie every week. There might be something to that. Drives to work by the same route every time. Always pulls the lever with an R next to it. I was just kidding about that part. You know, some people are so predictable, and there's something good about being predictable unless the FBI is after you. Do you know that God is predictable? The scripture calls it faithfulness. He is faithful. His words always have a pure, holy character, and the words of man are always exactly the opposite. Verse number 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. And what did we talk about just a moment ago? The scripture that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's the thing that comes out of man's mouth that defiles him, not the things that go into it. Wow, when you start reading the Bible, you can sure learn a lot, can't you? Verse number 9 goes on, their throat's an open sepulcher, they flatter with their tongue. Destroy them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Did you ever hear that old saying, if you give somebody enough rope, they'll end up hanging themselves? Did you know that's true? Now, I'm not saying that we should just stand back and let the world do whatever it wants with us and with our friends and neighbors. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is if you look at the last few thousand years of human history, in fact, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, what has always happened to the wicked? The scripture says that they end up being taken in their own snare. It looks like they're prospering. And if you think God doesn't have a sense of humor, just watch the political scene for a while. Those that are the most pious, like Saint Al, he's fallen on hard times, haven't you heard? When it starts snowing in South Texas, you know that Saint Al has fallen on hard times. And you think that God doesn't have a sense of humor. All you have to do is watch what's going on. His word is proven every day. His word is pure. His word shows his character of holiness, but man's word always ends up taking him in a snare, doesn't it? And you think that the banksters are going to get away with it? No. Their damnation slumbereth not. So the word of man is impure. You know, sometimes it's said that the eyes are the window into the soul. There's a certain sense in which that's true, but is it not far more true that the words that come out of a human being's mouth are a true window into their soul? It tells you all that you need to know about them. And yet we as Christians are so careless. We have the same kind of selective hearing, if we're not careful, that most of the worldlings have. Have you noticed it's getting harder and harder to find cars with Obama stickers on them? Is history repeating itself? Remember years ago when it started getting really, really hard to find Clinton Gore stickers on cars? And then pretty soon you couldn't find anybody that had voted for the guy? If you had listened to what they had to say before the election, would they have ever made it into office? Bill Clinton told you exactly what he was before the election. The Kenyan usurper told you exactly what he was before the election. Why did everybody vote for him then? And why is it getting hard to find people that voted for him today? Nobody wants to admit that they were stupid. If you'll just give it a chance, people will tell you all about themselves. And all you've got to do is listen. But if you don't have the Word of God, how would you know how to judge what comes out of their mouths? Word of God's pretty handy, isn't it? What else can we learn about it? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Did you notice how cleverly I dodged the telling you how to vote bullet? Just read the Word of God. There aren't any R's or D's in there. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's look at verse number 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Now, most of us know that scripture by heart, don't we? But our purpose this morning is to get us all to think about it. We're talking about the Word of God. It is powerful in the way that it operates. You know, some people like to say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then there are others that say, you got to take the middle of that out, and then it'll be okay. God said it, and that settles it. No, God said it, and so it is. You don't have to go to Bill Clinton to find out what the meaning of is. God says what is, and it is. Don't believe me? Hold your finger here and go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3. And God wrote on a piece of foolscap, let there be light. No wonder Baptist preachers get away with this stuff. No, that's not what it says. And God said. Words. You know, we get so weary of listening to people speak words around us that pretty soon we don't even listen to what they're saying. It's just like the babbling of a brook. Their mouths are running and something's coming out of it. But we don't listen to it because it's all the same thing, a bunch of nonsensical drivel. But when God says something, it's time for our ears to pick up. It's time for us to pay attention. Because politicians and world leaders can speak all they like. But they don't have the wherewithal to bring it to pass. All the golden age that the politicians of the world and the United Nations are promising the world if we'll just give them global governance. It's nothing but talk. They can't make it happen. And mark this down too. When the Antichrist shows up on the scene, he's going to be a dictator. But you know what? There are going to be a lot of people that don't really care what he dictates. He can't make it happen either. The devil himself can speak all the words he likes, but he has no wherewithal to make her happen. But when God says it, it is. And God said, notice that he spoke it into existence. He didn't wave a magic wand. He didn't sprinkle some pixie dust out into the nothingness. He spoke. Simple fiat creation. Oh, that's cool. The Fed is issuing fiat money. Better go sell your gold and silver and get some. Strategic pause to let the point sink in. The Fed doesn't have the power to say that a dollar is worth 100 cents. As a matter of fact, nothing they say makes any sense. But when God says something, it is settled. That's the way that it is. Turn to Proverbs 27 and verse number 1. Proverbs 27 and verse number 1. Proverbs 27 and verse number 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We are so fond of saying, we'll go into this city or go into that city and buy and sell and get gain. Haven't you heard? Bernie Madoff is in the big house. He's eating state food. Doesn't it really gripe you that you pay for it? All of the hucksters that ever ran a scam, every single one of them, all of their gilded promises have come to nothing. And if you think that's just Bernie Madoff, wait till you find out what the Fed is up to. Stay tuned. They're boasting that the recession is over. That they've got the magic fix for all of our ills. Really? Well, my Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. How do we usually boast? Some people do it with their Mercedes and their Rolex. But ordinarily we speak boasting, don't we? They're words. They're words that man speaks without the authority and power to enforce them. God's warned us against that. Why shouldn't we boast ourselves of tomorrow? Because we don't know what's going to be tomorrow. And if you doubt my word, you just listen to KKTV weather tonight. One of the things I've noticed about it is when they say it's going to be bad, it's bad. When they say it's going to be good, it's bad. Have you noticed that? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And you thought it was talking about the monthly prognosticators and horoscopes. Well, maybe they didn't have the weatherman in sight here. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. What are we learning from this? Nobody's going to help me out. We have a tendency not to listen to what people that we don't agree with say because it isn't important to us, but it should be important to us. If you listen to what people say, they'll tell you what they're all about, and you will never have to even ask them a question. Isn't that nice? If Christians could only learn that. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. This is a warning. You know, they can have an effect on Christians too, because we as Christians still have that old sin nature. And that old sin nature is taken by the same arguments that it always was. If you don't believe me, just ask Peter Popoff to send you his latest annual balance sheet. I'll guarantee you that some Christians took him up on his offer of a giant economy-sized holy water for the price of a regular. Christians can be fooled too. That's why what we're teaching you today is so important. You know, if this was only lost people that could be taken up in words, I'd be wasting your time. But guess what? Who do you think Satan has as his prime target? He's not working on the world. He already has them. What he's trying to do is keep you so wrapped around the axle that you'll never tell your friends and neighbors that Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost those who would come to him by faith. That's what he's interested in. So what is Peter saying here? They're actually Christians that can go in the wrong way. And he uses this idea of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam, the prophet for hire. And you thought that Benny Hinn was the first of his kind? No, there's been preachers for hire since the Garden of Eden. How about that? And what was Balaam's target? It wasn't the people down in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the nation of Israel. Who do you think the target is for all of the televangelists and most, sadly, of the pulpits in this country? They're not gunning for the people that are outside. They're in business to deceive the Lord's people and keep them quiet until they can be quietly shuttled out of the way and not plunder the kingdom of their Father. That's what they're after. Their words have a meaning. Their words are false. Verse number 16, who's rebuked for his iniquity? As they will be too. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice. See, I told you politicians were in the Bible. Forbade the madness of the prophet. They're wells without water. Verse number 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Here it is. This is how they do it, Christian. Pay attention to this. Words mean something. These people are trying to get to you through their words. And how do they do it? Because they have a natural ally in your old flesh nature. Strategic pause to let that sink in. We don't like to face that, but it's true. How could so many Christians be duped into thinking that some politician is going to bring them deliverance? Doesn't happen. What else can we learn about the Word of God before we quit this morning? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23. We're already in the neighborhood. 'Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, And all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Now this is really precious. Stop and think about this. You know the great failing of the Catholic religion and most of the Protestant religions and certainly the charismatic movement is this idea that since you got it so easy, you could lose it. You could end up losing your salvation. Why is that such a devilish doctrine? And by the way, it comes right out of the pits of hell. People running around saying they lost it, I'll guarantee you one thing, they never had it. It accuses God of being a liar. It accuses God of saying that He's changeable. It accuses God of saying that He's not faithful. It accuses God of saying that He can make errors. He chose the wrong people to save. It says to the Lord Jesus Christ that His work on the cross was not sufficient to save, that something else has to be added to it. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Look at it again. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. There's the word of God once again. Incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. The word of God is immutable. It's incapable of change. It doesn't matter what men say. I don't care what some crazy manic preacher has to say. When he says you can lose your salvation, that tells me more about him than it tells me about God. It tells me that he's not saved and never was. And you know, I'm getting old enough that I'm sinking into curmudgeonry. Somebody help me. Years ago, I would have just smiled and said, well, that's your opinion, but now I'll jump right down their throats. You're dressed up in some religious garb saying you represent Jesus Christ and now you're denying Him? If you want to join the ranks of the enemy, have the decency to take off our uniform and get out of our citadel. Lying liars. I'll save you today, but you mess up one more time. Doesn't that also deny the omniscience of God? I guess He didn't know what He was getting into when He saved you. The Word of God is permanent. It does not change. One more scripture, and we'll be through for this morning. Turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 20. Job chapter 20. Job chapter 20 and verse number 5. The word of God is permanent. Let's compare that to the word of men. Job chapter 20 and verse number 5. That the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and he shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. Oh, they try, don't they? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. What was that Russian cosmonaut heard to say, the first one that they managed to lift into orbit? He said, you know, I've been around the world dozens and dozens of times, and I didn't see God. That's kind of like flying over Africa at Bill Clinton military altitude and saying, no such thing as an elephant. I flew over Africa and I never saw one. The human race is afflicted with endemic stupidity. The words of man perish. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. Don't you like the way that the scripture is really plain? What should we have learned this morning? Listen to what people say, but listen with a critical ear in the light of the Word of God, and you'll become a much wiser Christian. But in order to determine whether what they're saying is right or wrong, you need this yardstick. You need the Word of God. That's why it's so important. Why are Christians so easily deceived today in this country? Because they go to church maybe one time a week thinking they're doing God a favor, and they don't go to one that preaches the Bible because that makes them uncomfortable. And then they wonder how we could be in the mess that we're in. It's really simple, isn't it? Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your wonderful word. And Lord, I pray that each of us will understand that we've come to a time now when we need to be lights. We need to have discernment. We need to understand what's going on around us. And Lord, we've spent too many of our years listening to what people say and attaching credence to it. Lord, by your word, you tell us that if we'll only listen, they'll tell us all about themselves. And if we'll read your word, it'll tell us all about you. And then, Lord, it makes everything so clear for us. And so I pray, Lord, as we are still your ambassadors, the trumpet hasn't sounded, we're still here, we still have a job to do. Lord, we need discernment. We need understanding. And I pray, Lord, that your word would give us that which we need to be effective in our ministries today. Lord, we thank you and give you all the glory for it, for it's your word and not ours. And we treasure it in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.